Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. This is L.A. Steele. Lila will be joining me shortly, and George Dixon should be joining us shortly as well. In the meantime, I'll explain what we're going to talk about tonight. We should be talking about the Mayan calendar again and the sixth night of the galactic period, which we are in right this time. And we will be moving along this year into the seventh day, universal consciousness, which we will be talking about tonight. I see George has just called in, so I'll go to the mic. Hello, George.
Hello, Leo.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Lila?
She's not here yet. She's got a few things. She'll be in a few minutes.
Good.
Yeah. We just got back a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're just coming up now on the Blog Talk screen, you know, is on live now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on live. What? What do you mean, George?
Well, no, I'm talking about I have on a computer.
Yeah.
I'm at Blog Talk, and
yeah, right.
The
right.
Notation on there. Yeah, 59 minutes remaining.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, okay, so how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How's your week been?
Hectic, yeah. Kind of crazy week.
Hectic because of the holiday?
Partly, and plus because of the book I got, I finished up. And then, just a lot of life in general, you know? So, what's the matter?
Nothing, that's how you get the accident.
So, say hello to George.
Hi, George, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Welcome, dear.
Oh, thank you. How's everything with you? Feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine, and I'm just trying to keep up with the activities now.
Good. And are we going to talk about the sixth night tonight? Is that what you had kind of thought about?
Well, I'd like to continue on that, sure. And, you know, just talk about what's going on with that. I'm kind of anxious. One thing I noticed from last week, or the last show that we did.
2 weeks ago, yep.
Yeah. I believe some people wanted to partake in the conversation. So, I wouldn't want to close them out. I'd be anxious to get feedback, I think, from the audience or people who listen to the show.
We didn't have any.
We didn't have any numbers come up on our screen.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if someone calls in, their number comes up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have any numbers come up.
Yeah.
Did people tell you that they had called?
Well, I think that there was a comment made that they wondered if they could partake in the conversation.
Of course.
And yeah.
But they have to call in to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to open up. If anybody out there would like to would talk with us, I'd love to talk with them directly.
Sure.
And I'd like to get some feedback.
Yeah.
We've talked about quite a bit, I think, in following the Mayan calendar. And, Leo, we talked earlier, and you were amazed, I think, at what's been happening on this sixth night as we are heading into it now.
Yeah.
Well, do I understand correctly the sixth night is kind of when people begin to be revealed for what they are and things are revealed for what they are?
Well, I think they're exposed for, they're exposed for who they are and what they are, but also, their connections. Everything is being challenged.
What do you mean by their connections to what?
Well, I think exposing their ways.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So would you say that Tiger Woods is an example of that? That he has been kind of unmasked because he was thought of one way, he certainly had a very polished image.
Sure.
And
maybe it was that polished image that he was just experiencing, the other side of the mirror side, or the mirror image of what he was putting out there. And this basically was received from him on a negative sense. It came back to him on a negative sense. So it was just a reflection of what he was holding back or what was held back.
Well, he wasn't holding back. But certainly the media held back.
No, it's not the media. It's Tiger Woods himself. You know, the media is just a, you know, another a piece of the puzzle or the fractal that's connected with it. But it's Tiger Woods who actually put it out there and who is experiencing it.
No, it's interesting you say that, because in this period of time, everything's all your past, all the bad stuff you did or doing or whatever will be exposed. I guess that's what the sixth night is about, huh?
Well, yes and no. I think it's a continuation of the evolution that this time period has given for us. If we go back, let's say, to the fifth day and the fifth night, understand that during that evolutionary time, we were working with the polarized consciousness of our world, positive and negative. And both of them are an extreme example of the fifth day of being, let's say, the innovation of nanotechnology. And the fifth night is the development of the nanotechnology, you know, on motives, different alternative motives. And, you know, it's taking a look at the technology, the goodness of it, but using it for personal needs or personal gains, which is a negative aspect of it. So, well, if nothing else, the fifth day and night expose the duality of where our energies are focused on. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know that Lungle said that in the sixth night, everybody in the world would pretty much be going insane. All right, it'd be pretty much a crazy time for everybody.
Well, it's a winding down time, Leo.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like once something is exposed. And what happened is you have to wind down from, let's say, that crisis, in a sense. And well, that crisis has to go through a period of collapsing, but also building up again.
Well, it's kind of like 27 million people in the United States alone are on antidepressant drugs, all right? So that prescription drugs.
Yes.
And 27 million, all right? That's like 10% of our population, and then that's not including the entire world, okay, industrialized world, how many people are. In fact, a couple years ago, I remember reading. In fact, I read it on the show, on our Tuesday night show back then, that the water supply for
Great Britain
was Great Britain. I don't know if it was Great Britain or London.
It was
most of the water supply for London. They found that it was tainted with Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Actually tainted with Prozac. And they said that the reason there was so much Prozac in the water was because it didn't filter out through the system.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's how much Prozac there is being used,
supposedly, in
there. But my feeling is they're probably putting the stuff in the water anyway, you know, just to calm the people down, especially in England where everything is so unbelievably controlled and surveillance. Then I mean, it's like 1984 over there, and it's crazy the stuff we're seeing come out of England.
Yeah, it is. Well,
yeah.
just a conception of that, you know, it's kind of scary. But take a look at what fluoride has done to us over these years.
Right. I mean, they've been fluoridating our water and keeping us sedated, you know, mentally deficient.
And it shortens your lifespan.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, George. I mean, you know, the day that, to me, I've been preaching this for years and years now, and it's just the global population reduction is real. You know, and people just won't accept that their governments are trying to kill them, all right? And, you know, they put on this big ha-ha about, you know, Medicare and health care and, you know, oh, we're going to have, you know, 47 million people without insurance. Well, they don't give a damn about that. I mean, look how hard it is to try to get a health care bill passed, you know, at this point. They don't want these people to live. They want these people to die,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe there's part of the Congress that wants to help them out, but it's obvious Republicans would prefer that you died, you know? So it's just unbelievable to me that the consciousness of these insane people.
Well, 70% of Americans want health care and believe in it. And
well, the other 25 have it, okay? And they don't want any change, all right? So, but what is wrong with that percentage of those people?
Because they don't want to share what they have.
Of course. But at the same time, it'll be taken away from them.
Those members of Congress enjoy a very comfortable lifetime of health care.
Well, I'll tell you something. Do you remember the French Revolution there, George? We didn't live during that time, but...
How do you know? Maybe you did.
Maybe we did. I might have been Robespierre, you know, myself,
okay.
Cutting off everybody's head. But it was like, as far as I'm concerned, there's not much difference than then and now. You had a 1% of the population own 90% of the wealth. Yeah, and it's that way now. So it's like,
going back to a feudal time.
That's going to change. It's going to change because people are waking up to it. And, I mean, I saw an article the other day that...
What are they waking up to, Leo?
2,000% interest on credit cards in Great Britain. 80%. Today, this morning, I saw that some cards are going as high as 80% interest, mm-hmm. all right, on the credit cards in this country, all right? Now, that is usury above usury. That's mafia loans, all right? And for our government to sit back and not do anything about it.
Well, they have had
it's unbelievable.
But it's not going to take place until next year, I think.
Yeah, you know, so what are they doing?
I don't know why
they
didn't enact it right away.
Because Biden and the other boys are all big credit card bank. Dodd, Biden, everybody who's involved with the finance groups, all right, we're all being paid off by these guys. So what do? They give them one big last hurrah, mm-hmm. all right? So let's not do it until next year so, you know, Christmas is coming around, so everybody can charge and we can raise the rates to 80% interest on some of these credit cards. Right? It's absolutely criminal. And yet these goddamn cowardly sons of bitches...
Wait a minute. What's criminal about it, Leo?
Congress and our White House and everywhere, and in the states, local, and everywhere that has something to do with this, okay, should be imprisoned, okay? They should be slaughtered like sheep in a goddamn slaughterhouse because these guys are the biggest crooks I've ever seen. Okay, these guys make Corleones look like babies. You know, it's just unbelievable.
Well, it's legalized criminality.
Legalized criminality, 80% interest. All right, you know, people.
But you have to have somebody who would want the loan to begin with, or who's going to sign up and abuse the loan. So who do you point the finger at? The people who make the laws? Or the people who use the laws?
Is they're increasing those goddamn things.
After you've already borrowed the money and agreed to terms, then they're bumping it up on you.
Then they're bumping the damn thing up on you, George.
Blame the people who are extending their hand, not the people who write the notes.
What?
Pay the people who use the card or use the credit.
Maybe they're using it to pay medical bills?
Well, who cares what they use it for? I mean, that was not a part of
the most bankruptcies in this country are because people can't afford health care. They go into bankruptcy to pay because they're sick.
Not only that, a lot of them use their credit cards to pay for their premiums, all right, because they just can't afford health care. I mean, who the hell can afford $25,000 a year for their families, all right, if they're making $50,000 or $60,000 a year? Who? All right? So it's like, George, the whole thing is so damn rigged.
It's stacked against the ordinary person. Unless you're fortunate enough to get a payoff somewhere in life or have a lifetime pension for something that you maybe served in or did.
And even if you do have a lifetime pension, it doesn't cover the costs. Okay?
A lot of people have health care in it.
Well, some do, but a lot of them don't. And not only don't they have health care in their pensions, but... I mean, it covers them, not their families, okay? So it's like the whole thing is insane, and it's rigged against you. And
well,
now,
what is the whole thing? Because we're jumping here from medicine to finances.
You mentioned that it wasn't the credit card company's fault, and I said that most people, a lot of people, use their credit cards to try to pay for health insurance.
Yes, but understand, who's at fault here? The people using the cards or the people who provide the credit for them?
Both.
No. Look at the businessman has a right to make a living. And if somebody wants to do business with them, they have to understand, they have to abide by the laws of the agreement or the contract. And here again, this is a this is an obligation that you sign an agreement with, and you know, it's a contract. Even though, you know, it may not be right, but it's something that you agreed upon, and you must fulfill that contract. It's a way of life.
Well, you know what, George? I don't agree with you, and I'll tell you.
I know, Leo, but I'm just saying that this
is part of
what's coming to a head right here, because things that are wrong have to be played out for what they are, but that doesn't mean they're going to be renewed, and that's what we're experiencing now. We're winding down, you know, our understanding of, let's say, a contract, a legal contract, because basically it takes our personal rights away. When I say personal rights, it's imaginary to begin with, is because it doesn't represent a true value. I mean, it's like a title. You know, a title is not real. I mean, it's fictitious, but there's a curtain of understanding that goes behind that.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but your title has got to be given to you some way, okay?
Right. So what's being exposed now is the title for what it is. And if the title is really valid now, or if it has validity, let's say, in our domain or our reality.
No, the thing with a title is that if you have a lien on your title, all right, then it's not yours, okay? It's yours and the lien holders, all right? Just like a mortgage. It's yours and the mortgage holders, okay? It's in your name, the house is in your name, but so is the loan.
Mm-hmm.
And the loan is written up so that if you if you default on your loan, it goes back to the owner, to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So these are contracts like that, but the conditions of a credit card are quite different, George. All right? If those credit cards are companies can actually increase, all right, without warning, increase your interest rate debt to 50 or 60 or 80%, all right, that's absolute usury and fraud. And,
it is. Yeah.
And there are laws. That's why I don't understand this. Because in Connecticut, you can't they can't charge you more than 24% interest on anything, okay?
Yeah.
That's the maximum usury rate, all right? In other states, it's 10 or 11%, but in other states don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in those states that those poor guys are getting clobbered, all right? And, you know, and the government is doing absolutely nothing about it.
Yes,
you know,
they did. They passed credit card reform,
but it
doesn't
take
effect
until next year. So, I mean, it's just like this Medicare insurance or Medicare, this health care insurance.
2014.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to start paying taxes for it from now until 2014 when it possibly kicks in. So everybody who's paying taxes for the damn thing, who's uninsured, is still going to be uninsured until 2014, all right? And the insurance companies, what they're doing is they're gouging and gouging and gouging everybody, okay, 10, 15, 20% increases in their insurance premiums, all right, across the board, all right? And they're going to do this until 2014 to offset anything.
How long do you think this is going to be able to continue, Leo?
Nobody's going to be able to continue. And as far as I'm concerned, all right, I don't even think this country's going to continue after another year or so. All right, I think we're going to be in the biggest crapper that we can't even imagine. All right, the kind of collapse that this is going to be.
Welcome to the sixth night, my friend, because that's what we're experiencing now, and it will continue.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't, you know, it scares the living bejesus out of me, quite frankly. And as far as I'm concerned, that, you know, if this is really going to happen, all right, There's no hope, man. I mean, it's just going to go down. It's going to collapse, and then we're going to have to come back with something else, whatever that is. I mean, if you can imagine,
Well, what would you want to come back with?
Five or six billion people unemployed, starving, no food, no income, no nothing. I mean, it's just horrible. The thought is absolutely incredible. But at the same time, I believe that from what I've seen and what we're looking at, these patches and these programs that we're putting together as a country, it's bogus, okay? It's all it's bogus. It's not going to happen. I mean, it's not saving. We're losing jobs by the bushel, and we're losing value of our dollar. And the euro is about ready to take over for the dollar as far as the oil is concerned. And if that happens, I mean, we don't have a shot. Excuse me, we're going to be going through hyperinflation.
Think about this. After all the money we put into Iraq,
yeah,
we didn't even get the oil contracts.
They gave the contracts to China and other
Europe.
Countries. Yeah, in Europe. I mean, I can't believe that. But, you know,
well, they
happened.
Did.
What's
yeah. That? Yeah. That's said the other day, 2 or 3 days ago.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. But,
Well, you know, understanding the banking system, and we've been talking about this for a few years now.
Yeah.
And following it, you know, through the Mayan calendar, you know, going back to the 30s, where we experienced the collapse of the banking system and followed it through and through the Second World War. But it was basically an evolution of the banking system, including the IRS. So what's happened right now is that the ways that the change has affected us is through contractual law, and so it's through these contracts and law as we practice them that changed our life and changed the value of everything that we did do. And excluding the understanding of the true value of money or the worthlessness of money for what it is, not for what it used to be. And I'm talking about the money that is not being backed by real currency or real worth. You know, money is useless right now. It's just paper. It's just
not. But that's not just for us. That's worldwide. All countries have central banking.
Well, they follow a banking theme, but their banks are different. Just like the central bank that we use basically includes the Bank of Britain. But you know, from it's different from the IMF, the International Monetary System.
No, the Federal Reserve is part of the Royal Bank of Scotland, Deutsche Bank, Citicorp, Wells Fargo.
They're private corporations.
Yeah,
there are eight private banks that are part of the Federal Reserve.
But all countries.
The Federal Reserve
federal
is
banking.
A private corporation. It is not a public, nor is it a federal program. It's not even a federal. Even though, for some reason, we think that a Bernanke is appointed by the president and approved by the Congress. You know, they may that's nothing but a big show. All right, and the big show is the fact that you know we don't have the authority to audit them. We don't have the authority to do anything. Okay, with the Federal Reserve, and they got all the power. That Bernanke is more powerful than the President of the United States. All right, if he decides he wants to cut off the United States and say we want to charge 10% interest on everything that's owed now, he could virtually bankrupt our entire system. All right, and walk away with it. All right, and this is the kind of setup that we have. All right. And it's absolutely unbelievably insane.
It's collapsing, Leo, and it has collapsed. And that's the problem we've been running through in the last couple of years. And it's going to get worse yet.
I think so, George. I'm afraid it's
Well,
going.
There's no thinking. It is. And this is, you know, it's been spiraling out of control. But you have to understand that, you know, it has to go through these crises in order for it to collapse. And so it can be picked up again.
I mean, here's another example. 2 years ago, in 2007, budget for the defense budget was $480 billion in 2007. Guess what they just approved this week for our defense budget.
Without a whimper.
Without any mention of it in the mainstream media, anywhere.
Yeah, what was it?
$680 billion. All right?
Now they didn't complain about spending that, but they sure complain about spending for health care.
Now, that's about $300 billion more than 2 years ago. All right?
And this military budget is paying $1 million per soldier. Is that what the cost was?
What's that?
It cost us to maintain one military person $1 million, and that's what the budget
dollars per person. That's what it is. That's per soldier.
That's when we got $110 million from Denmark.
Oh yeah.
For the war effort, that only paid
Afghanistan. It paid for 110 soldiers.
Paid for 110 soldiers. I wanted to say, give it back to them.
Yeah.
But it's like,
ludicrous.
That's the whole thing. I mean, if this is
like
a big war on terror, this is a huge
nobody
war on
else
terror.
Is paying for it.
Nobody else but us is paying for it, and Great Britain has paid some. They've got about 4,000 or 5,000 troops over there. But I mean, as far as we're concerned, we got 100,000 troops.
That's why Denmark and Sweden and Norway and England and France and Italy and Spain enjoy a very nice standard of living compared to most Americans. They live very well.
Because
they have cradle to the grave. They have great health care. Their kids can go to college and university
for free.
Yep. I have friends whose kids have moved to Canada because they can get advanced degrees plus stipends.
Right. They don't have to pay anything.
They don't have to pay anything.
And plus the government pays them. It's insane, George.
They get great.
I know it is. It is.
And they live very nicely as students in their 20s. You couldn't do that here. You can't even afford to pay for junior college.
Sure, yeah.
But the rest of the world is educating their population. We are not educating our kids.
We are educating them, but it costs, understanding, it costs us money to send our kids to school or to put people through school. What does it cost?
Spent $1 million on each kid in this country, all right?
They'd have a fine education.
The way they're spending $1 million a soldier to kill other people, all right? These kids would be incredible. They'd be superhuman. All right.
So Canada has a whole population that's getting advanced degrees. Our kids can hardly afford to go to a junior college,
not only that,
which they have to pay themselves.
And not only that, a kid.
That's my point. That's my point. In some of these foreign colleges, they'll give you an education. You know, you don't have to pay for it. These kids that are graduating from school, you know, have $100,000 of debt behind them to begin with.
That's right.
It's ludicrous.
That's what I'm saying. They don't only get an education through the university level of advanced degrees. They get stipends to do it. They get an apartment. They have health care. Elderly people are able to take the metro and the train at reduced rates. They live very well, and they take very nice vacations. Do you hear a lot of Americans talking about vacation? Hardly ever.
George, they're the laughing stock of the world, you know. The American people, I swear to God.
We look very silly compared to everybody else that's figured it out.
And everybody says,
let
the Americans pay for it.
And Obama got up there and said in Norway that he was going to be the policeman of the world. Do you know what that will mean for the American people? For Americans?
Yeah. I mean, we'll be dead. I mean, it'll be insane.
At one time, we were thought of, as maybe being stupid, but understand, we were free. It's not the case any longer. We can do what we want. We can be complacent in our lifestyle, but we are free in doing what we wanted. But now we don't have that liberty of having the rights that we had before. We're given privileges. And it's not the laws that have changed, it's the powers, the force of law that's put in motion. It's not the law itself. And, you know, we've become blind to this, and, you know, it's an illusion that we live under. So that illusion is being lifted.
Scott Ritter, I don't know if you know who he is, but he was the first weapons inspector into Iraq. And he said, at a speech that we went, he says, Americans are the most stupid people on the planet. And the reason, and he proved that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad because it's true. But he proved, I mean, that we allowed this crap and this idiot George Bush to be in office,
mm-hmm.
right? And we allowed all the lies and everything else to happen, and we totally ignored it like complete and utter morons, all right? And what happened? We're in war for eight long years.
We're having perpetual war.
Perpetual war. You know, our economy is bankrupt. And you know the amazing thing is every damn pundit, every damn politician, none of them are saying that Iraq and Afghanistan are destroying our country, are bleeding us, hemorrhaging monies. They're not saying that, even though they just signed a $680 billion defense bill, all right? And they won't allow, if they had, that defense bill is larger than all of the industrialized countries together, all right?
And it's really not a defense bill. What it is a bill of aggression and offense.
Sure. Yeah, sure, that's all it is. I mean, you know.
Dynasty building.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Obama.
I mean,
Obama, I hate to say it because I voted for the son of a bee, but Obama, I think, is going to show up to be the absolute positively worst. Yeah, I didn't think there could possibly be anybody worse than Bush, but I think we found Obama to be the greatest appeaser, the greatest globalist, the greatest SOB.
Just the public.
All right, that ever. We've ever had in office, and I am scared to death to see what this guy's about to do. He's already increased Afghanistan's by 30,000 soldiers, not to mention the 30,000 or 40,000 or 50,000 private security people or the private contractors that he's continued to employ over there that don't
even
get talked
about. And that doesn't even show up in the budget.
No, that's supplementary. Okay, so it's like, you know. We'll probably wind up, we've already spent almost $3 trillion between both wars, okay, in the last 8 years.
And accomplished what?
And accomplished nothing. Absolutely zero, okay? We're still in conflict over there. Nothing has improved since the day we walked in there.
That $3 trillion, most of it has gone into big defense contractors.
That's it. Halliburton and Boeing, whoever the hell. Every other Carlyle Group and every defense contractor in the country and around the world, okay, has made money off the U.S. and they made money off of the people.
Off the,
right?
off the sweat
if
equity.
If we even had
$1 trillion
of that dollar left, if we even had $1 trillion, okay, that would cover health insurance, give a surplus to Medicare and everything for the next 20, 30 years. But no. Instead, we got to spend it all in the last 8 years. All right, what are we doing? Killing people. Just spending it, killing people. All right, it's totally and absolutely madness.
There's something wrong with
what
people
is it,
who
George?
Think that's the way.
How can anybody think that is the way to go? All right, why is nobody saying a word about it? Okay,
because. Somebody is paying their pockets and putting food on the table.
Of course. Somebody is putting it all in their pockets, you know, and I wonder who that is, all right? So it's like, you know, to me, the whole thing is completely bogus. The whole country should go into a complete and total revolution. Right?
And how would you do there? What would you do?
What would I do?
Yes.
Yeah, first thing I would do is I'd go after the bankers. I would hang every goddamn banker in the country.
And after you hang them, what are you going to do?
What do you think I'd do?
You're still left with a problem.
No, you're not. You have no banks.
All right, you have no banks, right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody would work off their own currency, all right? Everybody would have their own currency, whatever it is. Whatever it is, all right? You don't need this. You don't need this. You don't need this kind of...
Oh, sure you do, Leo.
Why
sure
do you,
do.
George? Why do you need thievery like this?
Well, I didn't say thievery. You need something to exchange, and it's a matter of exchanging something for something. So, you know, you might be able to kill off all the bankers, but understand that these bankers know how to keep things rolling or keep things in commerce.
George, they don't.
Yes, they do, Leo. They know better than you do or me.
Bullshit.
That's their business.
I could easily run a bank, okay? And you could run a bank. Anybody could run a bank. You know what? You know how you run a bank? You take a dollar, you lend out nine. That's what you do, all right? Banks make up their own money, George. They make up their own money.
I know that, Leo. That's the banking system.
You know how easy that is to do? Huh? That's simple. All right? I mean, all you got to do, give me a dollar, George. Give me a dollar and I'll lend you nine. All right? It's imaginary money. I'll just write it down on a check. Okay?
All right, Leo, let's stop here for a minute and take a look at the money situation. What you're referring to in the Federal Reserve System, understanding the Federal Reserve System is a private bank who was actually contracted with the United States government to distribute money. That's their purpose. The banks were set up to distribute money.
But, George, that
now,
is...
what the banks did is they took this money and loaned it out to people and got money in return for handling it.
But, George, the banks, the federal bank, the Federal Reserve is an unconstitutional, unratified amendment, okay, that is in the Constitution. It was never ratified by two-thirds of the state, never ratified by a majority in Congress, all right? It is an illegal and improper and unconstitutional amendment. The Federal Reserve should be abolished.
I don't think that's true. It has been amended.
It was never ratified. I'll tell you what happened. Okay? They pushed in 1919, okay, what they did is the bankers pushed through the bill on Christmas Day. All right? There was four or five people in Congress waiting for this thing. All you had to do at that time was have a majority vote on it, and it became an amendment.
When people went,
right?
They went home
then,
for the Christmas then, break holiday.
Yeah, then what happened is that then you had to, from that, then it had to go to the 23 states, had to approve it in order to be a complete amendment. It never even got 10 approvals. Not even 10 states approved that. And it's on record now. That is an illegal and unconstitutional amendment, all right? And it should never have been done. But guess what? All right? Every cheating son of a bitch congressman and senator was paid off by those bankers or threatened by those bankers. Wilson was paid off. Do you know that Wilson owed $500,000 in gambling debts? Did you know that?
Is that
Do you
right?
know who paid those off?
Who was that?
His father-in-law. You know who his father-in-law was? His father-in-law was one of the major J.P. Morgan guys, okay? And guess what? After he paid off those debts, guess who became president? Guess who owed his ass to J.P. Morgan and the banking cartel? None other than Wilson, okay? The great Wilson, right? And then what happened
is... Who formed the League of Nations.
Who formed the League of Nations, which is another big globalist scheme to scam everybody and erode the sovereignty of this of our nation, okay? And then on top of that, this son of a B, okay, went that distance, sold out our country, pushed through the bankers, pushed through the Federal Reserve, okay? And then after that, God killed the bastard because, you know, he died, okay, of a heart attack before he finished his term. Thank God. I can't even imagine what more damage the bastard could have done, okay, to the country. Okay, and he had the nerve to say that beware. There are powers out there that are too powerful to even mention. All right, that control our government. Yeah, they controlled him. You know, and now they control this country. They control the money. Rothschild said, "You let me if I can control the nation's economy or the money." Supply of the nation, I control the nation. I don't care who's in power. I don't care what the power, president or Congress or whoever. If I control the money, I control the nation. And that is exactly what the globalist bankers are doing, okay? And that is exactly what's going on. We don't have it.
With the Federal Reserve, you are jumping to 1919, but I was worrying for the establishment of the Federal Reserve, which was in 1912. And it was over that Christmas recess that was voted in.
Yeah, they got kicked out, though, for a while, and then they got back in. All right? And I think it was 1919 that amendment went through.
Well, what I was referring to is the Federal Reserve system was brought in just to distribute the monies or as a distributor.
Right.
And it wasn't until later on, there were strings attached to the monies that the Federal Reserve distributed among the peoples of the populace.
Yeah, right. But they've tried to kick them out innumerable times, and every president that wants to get rid of it mysteriously seems to die.
Yeah, JFK was the last guy to try to get rid of the Fed. In fact, he printed
Lincoln tried to get rid of.
Well, no, to replace the Fed, put the Fed back on within the government itself of actually producing the bills and so forth. They produced U.S. Treasury notes, not Federal Reserve notes, and those Treasury notes were backed by real value.
That's right.
Gold or silver or whatever.
But we have the right. We have the right, and it is our it's in the Constitution. In fact, I think it's in one of the first 10 amendments. Right, that we have the right to print. We have the sole right to print and issue our money, coin and money. All right, it's never been given to the. I mean, it was given away to the central banks and to the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
But you know that. Do you know that the greatest financial period? They called it the golden years, actually, in the United States. The greatest period of prosperity in this country was in 1830 to 1830 under Andrew Jackson.
That's right.
And Andrew Jackson, kicked out all of the.
Was he hated too?
Yeah, he hated the bankers.
By them, he wasn't hated by the rest of the country.
No, they loved
the country. Loved the guy. And that was. And he was the kind of guy that would stand there and shoot the son of a bitch right in the head. All right,
mm-hmm.
That's the kind of president I would like to see. All right, all right, somebody who would stand up to a banker or to Bernanke and shoot the son of a bitch in the head. That would be a wonderful day. Okay, and guess what? He could pardon himself.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That would be a wonderful day. And then go in and do the same to all these bastards who are opposing it.
Leo, to do justice, I think, to understanding the Federal Reserve and how the system is the way it is, we'd have to devote more time to it. But, if nothing else, right now is just we've come to the point where you can't repair it anymore, and it's got to collapse, and it is collapsing. And it's going to collapse even more.
What did you think about Time making Bernanke the Man of the Year?
Yeah, well, I thought it's a joke. I mean, it's
Don't you think, George, that goes along with giving Obama the Peace Prize? He's a war president.
Oh,
sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
Al Gore, an Academy Award for something.
And a Peace Prize.
And a Peace Prize for something that's
bogus.
Bogus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a sham. I mean, it's really
But I think this is what we're seeing now. I think this is that six-night thing where everything that is...
Turned around. It's all
right. Around, yeah.
I mean, how can you? These are people that have been held up for us to admire,
and they're crooks,
and they're so obviously crooked.
That's
conmen.
Right. But they're being exposed for what they are.
That's it. I'm so
glad they've
been
being given huge awards for being crooks.
But those awards, I mean, nothing.
They are now meaningless.
They're meaningless to the entire world. The Peace Prize. The Peace Prize, giving it to Obama and Al Gore is like giving it to an insect, okay? It's like, it's ridiculous, all right? And then doing what they did,
What they used to do in the colonial days is tar and feather these bastards, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at Lieberman, you know, from your state.
That guy should be, he should come.
Tarred and feathered would be too good for him.
Hey, that guy should be hung up by his balls over the Capitol building, you know what I mean? And, you know, like they did to Mussolini, all right? And to me, that would be justice. But
well, I think that's what it's coming down to, and people are seeing it for what it is, and now people are raising the finger and pointing the finger.
Yeah, but you know what, George? I'm going to tell you this is honest truth. All right? These people may be pointing the finger and so on, but there's not one damn person out there who's going to stand up, okay, and actually do what I'm saying, do what I said. I would do it. I would certainly do it, but I'd be shot dead. Okay, because there wouldn't be anybody behind me, there wouldn't be anybody in front of me, okay, there wouldn't be anybody on the side of me helping, supporting it, all right, because everybody would be scared, all right. So, but the thing is that if you have 100,000 people in this country, 200,000 people, that's all you need. All you would need is 100 to 200,000 committed activists, revolutionary activists, that go down to Washington, take over the office building, take over the whole damn country, and it would be all over. And you know what?
There's something else you could do, Leo.
You know what, though, George? There aren't even 200,000 military people in this country right now. They're all overseas. You know what I mean? Lila thinks I'm going to be arrested as a revolutionary tonight, you know, but it's not going to happen because all I'm doing is talking about it here. Okay, I'm 600 miles away from Washington, D.C.
I think you need to be really careful what you say and how you say it.
Well, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. All right, because unless you say it and say it right and say it outright and with force and anger, it's not going to be listened to. It's not going to be heard. All right, it's not going to be acted upon. All right, and that is the problem that we have. Nobody's talking about it. Everybody's ignoring it. Okay. Everybody's ignoring what's actually happening. You got some Tea Party guys out there that are being paid for by the
insurance
companies, all right? Backed by the insurance.
Bus was paid for.
Yeah, right. I mean,
the
speakers and bus and everything. But I mean, the people that are actually revolting against this stuff, they're revolting. They're revolting against their own causes. I mean, they're revolting against their own selves because a good healthcare policy, a good healthcare plan would, you know, ensure the country, would ensure everybody.
Would make everybody's life better.
Much better.
Because you'd have many more productive people. They would be getting preventive health care, which is a very good thing.
Wonderful.
And I personally think it's a human right to have health care, just as I feel like people should have food, shelter, clothing, education.
Water.
And healthcare.
And water.
Let me join in this conversation. I think what we should do is open our borders to Argentinians, to Brazilians, to, and if you're South American, you're welcome in this country. And we got Social Security, we have Medicaid. I mean, we can take care of the world. Why don't
George,
we do that?
We can't even take care of ourselves. What the hell are you talking about? We can't take care of ourselves. I mean, the problem with the borders is that the borders should be closed. Okay, they should be closed down to illegals. All right, it's absurd that they're not. All right, to a greater degree.
And I don't blame people for trying to leave a country that has less than we have to get work for their family. I don't blame those
but
people.
But I blame
the way we run things.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And not only that, it's the countries themselves that have to straighten their asses out, okay?
Yeah,
like
the
Mexico,
pressure should be put
like
on
Colombia,
Mexico.
Argentina, all these countries.
It's a very corrupt government.
Those are, you know.
The world is corrupt, my dear.
But, you know, Venezuela is starting. A bunch of people say, Hugo Chavez, it's like the guy is real. The guy is real. Do you know what he did? He sent out arrest warrants to 30 different bankers of the major banks in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
In Venezuela.
Because they were corrupt.
Because
stealing
of the
from
problems
the
that they create, right? With the national banks.
They tried the same thing that happened here, so he arrested them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, he sent out arrest warrants. I don't know if he got any of them because they probably fled the country before the warrants came down.
But that's how he dealt with it. He felt that those were crimes against the people.
Exactly. Crimes against their country. I mean,
it's okay if they can get away with it. If you can go around the laws of the land and get away with it, it's fine. That's the American way, the capitalism system.
Yeah, now if Obama had any balls, and Obama is probably the most ballless president we've ever had, because anybody, okay, with any courage, any conviction, okay, would have looked at these bankers and said, you know, you're arrested, you know, I'd have every single one of those guys under complete arrest, okay. And I would have SWAT teams run into those damn CEOs and grab those guys and do it. Had perp walks, all the way out the door.
Been a far different world, let me tell you.
Because
if they were held accountable for what they've done.
But they weren't.
Instead, they were rewarded
Instead, they're getting $100 million bonuses. They're getting $20, $30 million bonuses instead of being perp walked out the door, all right, which is what they should have been, in handcuffs, okay? So what do? They got Madoff. Big whoop, okay?
He was the sucker.
He was the sacrifice for the rest of the bankers, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got Madoff, so what more do you want? He's sitting in jail. Yeah, well, where are all the other crooks? Okay, where are all the other bastards? They're enjoying, you know, their huge bonuses, all right?
And more to come
off the taxpayer, all right? And it's just absolute insanity. And the crooks will be seen. The crooks are being seen. The fact that I'm even talking about it here, somebody out there is listening to it. Somebody else is going to say something. You're saying something. Lila's saying something. It'll go viral, and it is viral.
So what is the next stage that we go into after this sixth night?
Seventh day.
What we have to do is we have to dispense of what we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's being exposed for what it is, but we got to dispense of it. And
yep.
We have to go through the process of, you know, cleaning it out. It's like a house. You got to clean the house out and make room for new people to come in. And that's basically what we're doing.
I think the whole house is going to be destroyed. All right. I don't think there's going to be a house left.
All right, so if that's the case, we're going to be left without a house. That's all right, too, but that's the starting point of where we'll be jumping from, and
right.
That's after this year. But right now, we just have to dispose of what's in motion right now, and the things that are in motion, you know, it's not something you can pull right out of or pull back from. You just have to let it die or pull a plug and just watch it deflate itself,
that's
what's happening. And it is deflating, just like this vaccine hype, the pandemic that we've gone through twice, you know, it's starting to lose its bubble in a sense.
They'll have another plague. They'll have a plague of some sort.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure, but you see, it's using this as a focus point. First of all, the focus point is wrong because it's an illusion to begin with. So that's however you disguise it, it's going to deflate and it's going to lose its power, and that's what we're going through. Right now, it's collapsing for what it is, and it's going to continue to collapse. I'll be glad when we come out of this period at the end of 2010. At that point, we'll be going into the seventh day.
And I hope things look a little better. It's a scary.
Well, it will be, but we got to put this stuff behind us first. But right now, it's not just talking about it, it's doing it. And that's what's happening right now. We're feeling the residue of that.
Well, I've noticed that everything is generated by fear. It was the fear of bad health that they were pushing all these H1N1 vaccines, the terror that they created in people to make them get the vaccine because they were afraid of dying or their children would die. The fear of having someone in Afghanistan terrorize you over here, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. It's all been generated on fear. The fear of your planet falling apart for a global warming and cap and trade.
Right. It's all false flag operations. It's all black op operations. It's all sponsored by our government, by the British government. All right. And we are the biggest suckers.
Cassie.
The biggest sucker is gone.
They sure are.
And I'll tell you.
Because we feed into the fear, though. But, you know, we have the opposite, too, the optimism, the good parts of life that we can enjoy. And we have right now the greatest understanding of technology and the greatest technology we've ever had. And it's enjoying ourselves for that. You know, don't cry. Be happy.
If you can afford it, that's true.
If you can afford it.
Sure. You can afford it. Sure you can.
No,
but
you
can't.
George, you know how many homeless people there are in this country right now? They're upward around 5 million.
All right, yeah, all right. But what about the average Joe off the street?
Huh?
What about the average Joe off the street?
The average, let me tell you something. In Connecticut, I can just speak for this state, you have to earn $45,000 a year to afford a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what the average... Across-the-board income is for the average American?
What is that?
Around $30,000. That's for the middle-class America. Okay? You need the average income for two working adults in a home. It runs about $65,000, $70,000 a year. Okay? Now, anywhere besides New York and California and Connecticut, you can have a decent living on that amount of money. But in these states... It's insane. Okay, these states are three times higher than any other state in the country. We pay the highest utility rates. We pay the highest property taxes. We pay the highest insurance premiums. Well, Massachusetts pays the highest insurance premiums, I think. But, you know, we pay the highest utility bills. We pay an enormous amount of money for everything, all right, more so than any other state, all right? And why is that, George? I have no idea. The only reason I can see is we have a corrupt, horribly corrupt government in this state. I mean, the last governor went to jail for a year and a half, all right? The governor that's there now...
He's now doing to tell children how to live well.
No, he now got he's getting paid $90,000 a year from the city of Waterbury. Okay,
yeah.
As some kind of consultant.
Yeah, dying city.
I mean, this is the kind of corruption we have in this state. We got Lieberman and Dodd, two of the most corrupt bastards that ever served in federal government. All right, and yet, you know, Lieberman gets reelected and Dodd gets reelected, and because they run unopposed. If one person votes for them, if they vote for themselves, they win the seat.
Yeah.
Imagine that. They've never been opposed by anybody.
Well, they have been.
No. Not for years. Dodd hasn't been opposed by anybody. Neither has Lieberman.
Well, who did the guy from Waterbury?
Well, Lamont opposed Lieberman
in
the Democratic primary. Then 70% of the Republicans in the state voted for Lieberman. All right.
So he
became an independent and won the Senate. All right. So it's like unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable the corruption in this state of Connecticut.
Well, I'm sure you have it in New York, too.
Yeah, it's all over.
Well,
anyway, we're coming right to the end of our show.
George, I didn't mean to go off there tonight, but these topics make me really mad.
He gets angry.
I get so damn mad at these topics, I can't, you know, the idea of what these guys are doing, I...
And we have to go off and pick up our car, which we forgot to pick up.
Lyle and I swear at the TV set all the time. Yeah.
Look, I want to say before I leave tonight, wish you folks a Merry Christmas.
Hey,
and
too,
also
George.
The Christian people out there, you know, enjoy the holiday.
Thanks.
Yep, and I hope you enjoy a great holiday. I'm sure we'll be talking before then.
Yeah.
Oh, we will, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I hope you have a good night tonight, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Yeah, just so you know, George, we didn't get any calls tonight, and nobody has done anything on the chat room. So I just wanted to let you know that we
don't have anything up on the screen.
Yeah. So
okay.
If anybody talks to you, tell them that they should have called.
There you go.
All right, George.
So God be with you, folks. Thank you.
And George, you too. Good
talk
night.
Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
And thanks for listening, folks.
Thanks for listening, and have a great Christmas. Well, we'll be talking to you before Christmas. We'll be back on Wednesday and Thursday night.
Yeah.
So, on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, not
Wednesday
Christmas
night. Yeah,
Day,
so. Thursday and Friday we're off. So,
Thank you, and have a pleasant evening.
Good night, folks.